Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for performances by the North Carolina Symphony on Friday and Saturday nights, February 9th and 10th, at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh, and Sunday, February 11th, at 7:30 p.m. in Memorial Hall, UNC Chapel Hill. This concert will be conducted by North Carolina Symphony Musical Director Grant Llewellyn. Special guest will include the North Carolina Master Chorale. Now I'll begin reading from the program notes. First, some information about the guest master chorale here, one of the major choral organizations of the Southeast. The North Carolina Master Chorale has been performing choral orchestral masterworks for 75 years. The Master Chorale boasts two renowned ensembles, a 170-voice symphonic choir, and a 22-voice professional chamber choir with a diverse repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music. Its singers, selected by audition, bring a collective wealth of training and experience. The Master Chorale is the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony and regularly collaborates with symphony orchestras, opera companies, ballet, and touring productions as well. Music director and conductor Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and performed with Robert Shaw in the United States and Europe. In addition to the Master Chorale, Sturgis served as music director for the Carolina Ballet and the Tar River Philharmonic Orchestra. The organization received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its rich heritage and numerous artistic contributions to the community. Founded originally as the Raleigh Oratorio Society in 1942, the Master Chorale has evolved into a major regional performing arts group that works with more than 250 artist musicians each season, reaching an annual audience of more than 10,000 choral arts enthusiasts. Now, the program for the North Carolina Symphony on these concert performances include Chichester Psalms by Leonard Bernstein, and that is the work in which the Master Chorale will participate. And that will be followed by the symphony's performance of Daphne and Chloe by Maurice Ravel. Now, I'll begin reading symphony notes here. Chichester Psalms was written by Leonard Bernstein. Bernstein was born August 25, 1918, in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and he died October 14, 1990, in New York City. The work was composed in 1965, and the first performance was July 15th of that year, 1965, at the Philharmonic Hall in New York, and it was conducted by the composer. Now here's the overview. Composer, conductor, and pianist Leonard Bernstein was one of the most frenetically busy musicians of the last century, but he selected the 1964-65 season as a well-earned sabbatical from his position as music director of the North New York Philharmonic. It was supposed to be a time for reduced activity, but he was constitutionally unable to wind down. One of the products of the year of idleness was Chichester Psalms, commissioned by the Dean of the Cathedral of Chichester in Sussex, England. Now, it is a setting in Hebrew of three complete psalms, along with verses from three others, originally scored for trumpets, trombones, timpani, harp, percussion, strings, and organ. Bernstein later reorchestrated it for harp and percussion. Part 1 opens with a dramatic, invocatory introduction from Psalm 108, verse 2. Awake, psaltery and harp, I will rouse the dawn. There follows an allegro from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, where a battery of percussion instruments and the dynamic rhythms in 7-4 time conjure both the joyful noise and King David dancing before the ark. In part two, the ethereal Psalm 23, the boy soloist David the Shepherd, is accompanied by the harp. But male voices violently interrupt the child with verses from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? The female voices reply with a variation of the boy's melody, initially overpowering the men. Bernstein writes in the score, blissfully unaware of the threat, but the orchestra concludes with the men's theme, "Peace is still elusive." A meditative instrumental prelude opens part three, a variation of the theme of the introductory Psalm 108. Gradually, the orchestra becomes hushed as the chorus enters with the tranquil Psalm 131. Lord, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Finally, the unaccompanied chorus sings Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for people to dwell together as brothers." One cannot help but compare Chichester Psalms to Stravinsky's Symphony of Psalms. Certainly both composers, noted for their driving rhythmic language, incorporate it into their works. Stravinsky's work is decidedly more austere and abstract, while Bernstein represents different facets of the human relationship with God. The instrumentation for this work is for three trumpets, three trombones, timpani, percussion, two harps, and strings. And the next work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this concert series is Daphne and Chloe by Maurice Ravel. Born March 7, 1875 in Cibourg, France, died December 28, 1937 in Paris. Ravel composed this work from 1909 to 1912. The first performance was June 8, 1912 at the Théâtre du Châtelet, Paris, as part of the Ballet Russe. Pierre Monteau was the conductor. Now here is the overview. In the annals of classical composers, Maurice Ravel was in a lucky minority. Born into a cultured middle-class family, he was one of the few composers whose parents encouraged his professional musical ambitions from the very start. From the age of seven, Ravel's father provided him with the best private musical instruction. At age 12, he went on to preparatory school for the Paris Conservatory, graduating into the regular course of study at age 14. In a surprisingly single-minded manner, the youthful Ravel marched to his own drummer as he developed his musical language. He could not, or would not, conform to the rigorous and by then dated traditions of the conservatoire, and was repeatedly beaten out for any of the composition prizes by composers who have remained almost completely unknown. Ravel was always fascinated by the new and exotic in music, as well as by the avant-garde developments in literature and painting. Therefore, it is somewhat surprising that throughout his career, while his older contemporary Debussy had abandoned tonality and other turn-of-the-century composers were stretching its harmonic boundaries, Ravel remained a conservative with regard to tonality, the linchpin of Western classical music. His conservatism, however, never prevented him from employing new, varied, and unconventional harmonic coloring over the fundamental tonal structure of his works. In 1909, Paris was taken by storm by the performances of the Ballet Russe under its innovative impresario, Sergei Diaghilev. In the years before the Great War, Diaghilev had utilized the talents of the most progressive artists in all fields, including such luminaries as the multifaceted Jean Cocteau, Pablo Picasso, Claude Debussy, Erik Satie, and the rising young Russian musical star Igor Stravinsky. Diaghilev commissioned Ravel to set to music a ballet whose scenario was the work of choreographer Michael Fokine. Based on a late Hellenistic pastoral tale by the Greek poet Longus, Daphne and Chloe is a relatively simple love story in three scenes. Now, in the first scene, the lovers, Daphne and Chloe, are each beset by petty jealousies during a festival in honor of the nymphs, devotees of the god Pan. Before the lovers can reconcile, they are attacked by a band of pirates who abduct Chloe. Daphne finds her sandal and, together with the nymphs, invokes the aid of Pan. In scene two, Chloe is made to dance for the pirates when suddenly Pan appears and frightens them away. The final scene sees the reconciliation of the lovers as they reenact the story of Pan and the nymph Syrinx, who was transformed into a set of reed pipes. A dance of general rejoicing ends the ballet. Fokine had envisioned his choreography without the distinct formal numbers of traditional ballet. Ravel obliged by creating a seamless symphonic poem that traditionally trained dancers found difficult to follow. The work took him 2 years to complete, punctuated by periods of procrastination. Despite the fact that the roles of Daphne and Chloe were danced by the world-famous stars Anna Pavlova and Vaclav Nijinsky, the audience didn't take to this kind of ballet. Incidentally, this was the same audience that rioted the following year over Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. Daphne and Chloe is a magnificent orchestral showpiece written for an ensemble, enhanced by chorus, which is treated as part of the instrumental ensemble, but which is sometimes omitted in performance, along with expanded woodwind and percussion sections. It employs few themes, the most important of which is the one representing the lovers, heard throughout the work. Ravel's ballet is an atmospheric work employing highly varied and subtle orchestral colors through different combinations of instruments. The instrumentation for this work, Daphne and Chloe, is two piccolos, three flutes, alto flute, two bassoons, English horn, E-flat clarinet, two clarinets, bass clarinet, three bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, four trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, two harps, celeste, and strings. These notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes for the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.